Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, since the beginning of Lent until now, we have prepared our hearts by penance and charitable works. Today we gather together to herald with the whole church the beginning of the celebration of our Lord's Paschal mystery, that is to say, of his passion and resurrection. For it was to accomplish this mystery that he entered into his own city of Jerusalem. Therefore, with all faith and devotion, let us commemorate the Lord's entry into the city for our salvation, following in his footsteps, so that being made by his grace partakers of the cross, we may have a share also in his resurrection and in his life. Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, sanctify these branches with your blessing, that we who follow Christ the King in exaltation may reach the eternal Jerusalem through him who lives and reigns forever and ever. May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips, that you may proclaim his gospel worthily and well. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus and the disciples drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tethered and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them here to me. If anyone should say anything to you, reply, 'The master has need of them.' Then he will send them at once." This happened so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Say to daughter Zion, 'Behold, your king comes to you, meek and riding on an ass, and on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the ass and the colt and laid their cloaks over them, and he sat upon them. The very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and strewed them on the road. The crowds preceding him and those following kept crying out and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds replied, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I might hear. And I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
In the Lord, let him save him. Let him release him, for in him he delights. My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? For dogs have surrounded me, a band of wicked besets me. They tear holes in my hands and my feet. I can count every one of my bones. My divide my clothing among them. They cast lots for my robe. But you, O Lord, do not stay far off. My strength make haste to help me. My God, my God. I will tell of your name to my King and praise you in the midst of the assembly. You who fear the Lord, give him praise. All my descendants of Jacob, give him glory. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God, something as something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Christ became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
He said in reply,
"He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, but as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
He answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink of it, all of you, For this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father.
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night all of you will have your faith in me shaken, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will disappear, will disperse. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him in reply,
"Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times."
Peter said to him,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will."
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again,
"My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass away without my drinking it, your will be done."
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged the sign with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him."
Immediately he went over to Jesus and said,
"Hail, Rabbi."
And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
"Friend, what do you come for?"
Then, stripping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I sat in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the high priest's courtyard. And going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priest and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated,
"This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God and within 3 days rebuild it.'"
The high priest rose and addressed him,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him in reply,
"You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
"He has blasphemed. What further need have we of this witness? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?"
They said in reply,
"He deserves to die."
Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy for us, Christ. Who is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said,
"You too were with Jesus, the Galilean."
But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there,
"This man was with Jesus the Nazarene."
Again he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter,
"Surely you too are one of them. Even your speech gives you away."
At that, he began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
"I have sinned in betraying innocent blood."
They said,
"What is that to us? Look to it yourself."
Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said,
"It is not lawful to deposit this in the temple treasury, for it is the price of blood."
After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why that field, even today, is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, who questioned him,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
Jesus said,
"You say so."
And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many things are testifying against you?"
But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
"Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
"Which of the two do you want me to release to you?"
They answered,
"Barabbas."
Pilate said to them,
Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?
They all said,
Let him be crucified.
But he said,
Why? What evil has he done?
They only shouted the louder,
Let him be crucified.
When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves.
And the whole people said in reply,
His blood be upon us and upon our children.
Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews!
They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross.
Likewise, the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him and said,
He saved others. He cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel? Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God.
The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
This one is calling for Elijah.
Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said,
Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him.
But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said,
Truly, this was the Son of God.
There were many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember that this impostor, while still alive, said, 'After 3 days, I will be raised up.' Give orders, then, that the grave be secured until the third day, lest his disciples come and steal him and say to the people, 'He has been raised from the dead.' This last imposture would be the worse than the first."
Pilate said to them,
"The guard is yours. Go secure it as best you can."
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The most dramatic words that have ever been spoken in the human race are those words that we have echoed today several times. "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Each one of us, created in God's image and likeness, live a life in union with God, whether we understand that or not, whether we accept that or not. We are God's creatures. We did not create ourselves. We are not created by a laboratory. We are created by Almighty God to be in relationship, in union with Him. And so to hear those words on the mouth of Jesus, "My God, why have you abandoned me?" are the most dramatic human words that can ever be spoken. Every human being, in one way or another, experiences the reality of those words. In many ways, through our life situation, through disappointments, etc., etc., we may not use those words as deeply and as profound as Jesus did, but each one of us has the experience of being alienated, feeling alienated from the one who has created us. As Jesus entered into Jerusalem, he did so amidst loud acclamations and a warm welcome. But it didn't take long for that to change. He came through the Passion, which we have just finished reading, into a world that did not accept him. We see that there were elements during the Passion of betrayal and lies by Judas saying, "Surely it's not I who have betrayed you." Into a world of broken promises, Peter saying, "I will never deny you," and then denied him. Into a world where there's a lack of human support and affection, the apostles falling asleep in the garden, false accusations and prejudices at the Sanhedrin, mocking, laughing, and disrespect by soldiers at the Praetorium. Each one of these realities that Jesus entered into and experienced in his own life you and I, in one way or another, in this human life that we have, experience the same thing in our own life. Where did Jesus turn in this difficult, difficult time of his life for our salvation? He turned to the Father. He turned to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, "Let this cup pass away. Let this absurd relationship with others pass away, but not my will, but yours be done." And then on the cross, those dramatic, piercing words, my God, why have you abandoned me?" But we've also heard already in the readings today that all of this happened to fulfill the prophets. This was the course that Jesus had to take. And so as we enter into this Holy Week, I would simply ask all of us in our prayer and reflection, and hope we will have a little time or a lot of time to do that, not just to observe Jesus. Many of us, because of our age, could tell the entire story of the Passion from memory. We may not get all the facts right, but we know the story. So we are not observers. Let us not enter into this week, into the final 3 days toward Easter, as mere observers, but to participate, to realize that Jesus entered into our life. He became flesh for us to experience all of these things for us. The great fathers of the church say he became what we are so that we could become what he is. And so by no means does God's grace want us to be mere observers of the reality of Christ, but to feel in our own bones, in our own flesh, in our own heart, what he himself did. We can recount this week perhaps the betrayals and lies we've experienced, the broken promises, the lack of support, false accusations and prejudices, mocking and laughing and disrespect. All of those things, in one level or another, we all have present in our life. He bore all of those things for us. When the world that we live in today, the individualistic, narcissistic world, feels more and more alienated from God, it relies on itself to solve its own problems. You and I, as men and women of faith, do not look at ourselves. And especially this week, don't look at yourself. Look at him. Look at him. Identify with him. Share your life with him. Cry out to him. As you felt abandoned, I'm now feeling abandoned in this, whatever it is. Participate with him, so that he can enter into our Jerusalem, into our life, at Easter especially. To do so, I would just call to mind the beautiful homily that is in the Magnificat this morning from St. Francis de Sales, who says, for Christ to enter into the life of the Christian, there has to be 3 things: humility, patience, and obedience. Are those found in our lives? Is there humility in our attitudes, in our dealings with God and one another? Are we patient with what we're going through right now? Are we become anxious and try to take over and control? And are we obedient to the will of God? If we can continue our own journey with those things in mind, to be humble, as the letter to the Philippians speaks of today, to be obedient and to be patient. We are not throwing palms on the road to welcome Jesus, but we're opening up our hearts to say, come, Lord Jesus, welcome.
The Lord God has given us a well-trained tongue. May we use it now to speak of all those who are in need.
For our church, during this holiest of weeks, as we confess to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, let us pray to the Lord. For peace, justice, and tranquility in the Holy Land and in every land, let us pray to the Lord. For those who will be baptized at Easter, at the Easter Vigil, and for all who will be received into the church, let us pray to the Lord. For those who have died, especially Henry Holguin, may be welcomed into eternal joy. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who serve in the military, that they may be surrounded with the grace and protection of the Lord, let us pray to the Lord. And for the intentions of this Mass, for the intentions of Vincent Vasquez, who celebrates his birthday, and for the eternal repose of the souls of Maria Martinez, deceased members of the new Mew family, and Ricardo Amador II. And for all these prayers that we hold in the silence of our heart, and for all our intentions, spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
We'd also like to pray this day for the end of war. We pray for those who have been affected by the chemical warfare in Syria. We ask that the response continue to not cause more harm, but to bring peace. May we identify with our brothers and sisters in the lands of war throughout the world, and asking the Lord crucified and risen to be with them in a special way during this time, we pray to the Lord. O God of love, we will proclaim your name to all the peoples, for you are our help. Hear these prayers and grant them through Jesus Christ.
Pray, dear sisters and brothers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Through the passion of your only begotten Son, O Lord, may our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that, though we may not merit it by our own deeds, yet by this sacrifice made once and for all, we may feel already the effects of your mercy. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for sinners and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so, with all the angels and saints, we praise you as in joyful celebration we acclaim.
Hello, I'm Father Han Fang, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.